It's time to learn what's happening in nearby Sauk Prairie. Rolla Bresch is here with another edition of Mornings at McFarland's from our 99.7 FM studios at McFarland's in Sauk City. Today's program is brought to you by DeMars Plumbing, Prairie Clinic, and Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gift Shop.
Nothing could be finer than to be in on Carolina in the morning. Nothing is as mighty as a talk with my friend Jeff Wright at McFarland's. You know, Sorry, Jeff, I had to add that E sound to the end of your name, which I know is not phonetically there, but I have this rhyme thing that I have to do, and I was going to do, you know, nothing is quite as might E, or nothing has as much might as a talk with Jeff Wright, and that just didn't seem grammatically correct to me, so I hope you'll forgive me this one time.
Completely forgiven. Okay, I've been called much worse.
As have I, let me tell you, especially by my wife when I goof something up, so, ooh, boy, not a good place to be. My guest this morning is Jeff Wright. We have had just a really exciting morning here at Mornings at McFarland's. The storm has wrecked havoc, or is that wreaked havoc? It's wreaked havoc. So even though it looks like wreck, but it has wreaked havoc with the atmosphere and technology in Sauk City and Baraboo. And folks, through the wonder of human intervention, we are on the air. The show must go on, and we have made it here to the air. And my guest is Jeff Wright, who is our assistant superintendent here in the Sauk Prairie School District. We are very blessed to have you in that capacity. But you're also here to talk about a project that is near and dear to your heart. And I think a lot of people in the area are very concerned about the Great Sauk Trail and its impact on the Sauk Prairie area. So good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here. Yes, I'm honored to work in our school system, but also pleased that we could see our trail taking shape right now.
Yeah.
I'm president of the Friends of the Great Sauk State Trail and just honored to be working with a great team of people as we try to raise the funds to complete that trail from the Sauk City Railroad Bridge up to Devil's Lake State Park.
Boy, and talk about taking on a big enchilada after not being in the air. Oh, no, it's coming up on 26 years in August. We were talking about a bike trail back then. So it was, you know, they talked about the rail being converted at some point. Well, there were still trains on that rail at that point in time, because I remember one time Elizabeth was quite young, but they actually brought in like a dinner train and it came into town and kind of parked for a little bit and then went back out of town. I don't even remember who did that, but that's the last time I remember seeing a train on that rail. So to have that kind of impact on the community only, what, 4 or 5 years since you've been here? Good job, Jeff. Good job.
Well, thank you. This is my sixth school year in our school district, and it's been exciting to be a part of a lot of construction projects here in our school district and now working on this trail as well.
So tell us more about yourself. You're not from Sauk Prairie originally, right? Or did you come back? No, you're from East Coast? Or
no, where? I grew up south of Stevens Point.
Okay, yeah. So you're a Wisconsin boy.
Yes, I am a Wisconsin boy. My family's been here since before it was a state.
And, glad
to be in Sauk Prairie now. My wife and I live with our kids just north of Plain on a small farm.
Okay.
And we knew we wanted to come home to Wisconsin and are pleased to be here and working in Sauk Prairie School District.
Boy, I did not know that your family was here before the state of Wisconsin was even incorporated.
Yeah, so we're a certified pioneer family.
Wow. So before 1846.
48.
Yeah. So I remember doing the sesquicentennial back in 96. So that's the only reason I have that date in my head. So I'm not some wunderkind or something like that. But so you were a farm kid then growing up?
No, I grew up in south of Stevens Point.
Oh, okay.
And my parents were both teachers in the Stevens Point Area School District. And
okay.
So I had a lot of friends who were on farms, and my wife grew up on a farm.
Okay.
And so we knew we wanted to raise our kids on one as well. I do have to say that our farmer neighbors would say we probably aren't farmers, and our friends in town think we are. We have a long way to go to really call ourselves to earn that name, but we have chickens and turkeys and grow a lot of our own food, and just great to be on this beautiful land.
It's interesting you say that until we earn that name, that it is something you need to earn.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people that don't have any familiarity with what farmers do, I remember being a kid growing up in Milwaukee and people saying, oh, you old farmer, you know, it was like a derogatory term. And then you start working alongside farmers and see what farmers do. And it's like, no, there's nothing derogatory about the word farmer. Anyone that thinks it is just ignorant.
No, it's incredibly hard work. And I'm pleased that many of our neighbors who do that work share their stories and share their work with us. We have some tillable acreage that's taken care of by some of our neighbors, and they let our little kids jump on their equipment with them and teach them what's happening on our land. Cool. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, you think about those skills that you learn on a farm that you don't learn anywhere else at the ages that you learn it, the responsibility factor and the, you know, taking care of animals and the, you know, having to be reliable and getting up and doing things whether you feel like it or not. I mean, there are some basic life skills there that are really core things that you carry along the rest of your life.
Very true. Our son is 6 and our daughter is 4, and they have roles and responsibilities taking care of our chickens and turkeys and and helping us in our garden. And we're hoping that helps create a work ethic that serves them well throughout their lives.
Yeah, very much so. So are you then... You went to Harvard, didn't you?
I did. That's where actually I met my wife, in the library at Harvard.
Really? Yeah, easy good story. Things happen in libraries all the time.
An easy story to tell your parents as well. So, and then for a while I was a principal on the south side of Chicago.
Okay.
And loved those 9 years, but always knew we wanted to come home.
Okay. I'm curious, how did you get to Harvard? I mean, obviously you had to have pretty good scores and everything to get out there, but you always wanted to get there?
I drove a very full Jeep of stuff.
I just flew in, and boy, are my arms tired. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So, were there a particular program that you had wanted to go to that Harvard had, or was it just drew you? I remember thinking about Harvard and Yale because they both have excellent drama schools when I was back at Bayview High School. So, I'm just always curious about that. It's such almost a mythical place, I think, when you're from the Midwest, you know, and some people have a real negative connotation of it, but when you read things like, you know, the Harvard Business Review and Harvard Law Review, or, you know, some of the things that come out of Harvard. Yeah, heck, I was just reading a family study, a 75-year-old family study that's been done by Harvard, where it's been tracking men from the 1930s until present time, both that were Harvard sophomores at the time, and then they looked at underprivileged kids from the Boston area that they picked from, like, really high risk, what we would call high risk families, and have tracked them over that 75-year period to see what has made them happy, life choices that they made that contributed to them being healthy and happy, and things that have not. And so you think those kinds of things come out of Harvard. So it obviously is a really cool place, I think, in a lot of ways.
But it was a great place. I went there to study education policy, so I got to take courses at the Kennedy School of Government and at the Education School. And so this is the work that I get to continue to do here in Sauk Prairie, and it was the work that I did while I was in Chicago.
Okay.
But it really is a place that it gathers people from around the world to learn, but there are incredibly smart people that continue to teach me here every single day, and I see myself as a person who gets to continue learning in my job and learning in my relationships. And it just happened to be that for a while I did that out in Boston. I did that in Northfield, Minnesota at St. Olaf College for a while
And cool. St.
Olaf's. That's where I did my undergrad. And
great choral program out there, too.
Yes. And so I just, that if you see every day as an opportunity to learn something new, it doesn't really matter where you are. Right. There are plenty of things to continue to learn.
Sure. And then Chicago for a while at a school system there?
Yep. I was in the city system. My wife was as well. And so we lived on the south side, and I worked as the principal at a high school 2 blocks from our home. So I got to walk to work every day.
Wow.
Even in that large serve a student population of about 940 students.
Wow. So that must have been a huge culture change to go from Boston to south side of Chicago. A little bit of a test of your wings right out of the nest.
Yeah. I'd say it was a larger cultural change from growing up in Stevens Point to the south side of Chicago.
Okay.
But it was an incredible, incredible journey. And the kids are kids. They want to be loved.
Yeah.
They want to know that you care about their future and happening to them, even if sometimes their neighborhoods don't.
Yeah.
And so we worked hard to create an environment where our 940 students could learn and learn safely, and then go on from our high school to whatever adventures they chose next, and hopefully do that successfully.
You know, I think of that as it's probably one of the greatest things that a child can learn in a school system, in their family, with their friends, is that sense of hope. You know, the sense of hope that things can be better, that I can work hard and it will make a difference, that I can study hard and it will make a difference, that I can be a good person and it will make a difference. And that seems to be the thing that gets taken away from kids and us in general faster than anything from conditions, you know, whether your poverty is financial or spiritual or whatever. The first thing that gets grabbed is, you know, faith, hope, and love. You know, those things just get pulled away. And to be in an environment where you were able to make a difference, that has to be really rewarding.
Well, to provide that hope is really to change the trajectory of a young person's life.
Yeah.
And that to have that opportunity to work with students, whether here in Sauk Prairie or on the south side of Chicago, and to introduce them to opportunities, whether it's through apprenticeships, whether it's through continuing their education in some other way, it really does change the course of their lives. And we hope that they'll go and make us proud, and then also come here and continue to make our community strong.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's kind of the constant battle. You want the birds to fly, but at the same point, you hope that they'll fly home because we certainly, that brain drain is something that's really hard if you have those kids that grew up in the community and then go off and do other things and don't come back. Yeah, after a while, it's like, well, we could use some of that smartness over here too.
Yeah, and I think that's a great challenge for our community and so many in our area, that how do we make sure that our schools are strong enough that provide students the opportunity to go everywhere they want to go,
right?
But communities that are also magnets that bring them back,
right?
And that they're strong communities with great opportunities for work, for family sustaining employment,
yeah.
But also
yeah.
places where they want to send their children to school
yeah.
and be involved in churches and civic groups. And
sure.
Just, I think Sauk Prairie is one of those magnets that yeah. can bring people back.
Yeah, have activities that are going on, have challenges available for people of all ages. Yeah, we're learning that with SKILL and with the Sauk County placemaking efforts that are going on right now. That whole desire to kind of give an essence to your county and the areas within your county that will help be a magnet, like you said. Excellent. So, well, we should probably we're doing things a little differently this morning, folks. It actually involves me clicking some buttons on a screen. So let's pray that I know how to click here. But I'm giving Mike clear warning here that I'm clicking now from my station identification here at WRPQ Radio, live from Sauk Prairie. My guest this morning is Jeff Wright here, who's our assistant superintendent at the Sauk Prairie School System. But also, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Great Sauk Trail and the things that are going on in this area with that, because Jeff is working with an organization helping to raise funds for that. So don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back here after a quick word from our sponsor.
DeMars Plumbing, since 1982, is the plumbing company to turn to for quality design, installation, maintenance, and repair of residential and business plumbing systems. DeMars Plumbing specializes in plumbing fixtures and water heaters, septic systems, private water well systems, radiant in-floor heating, and excavating and trucking needs. DeMars Plumbing, located just west of Sauk Prairie. They're open weekdays 7 to 5. Call 608-544-4471. Online at DemarsPlumbing.com. Summer is warm weather, the great outdoors, and some common health ailments. These can include sunburn, poison ivy, tick and insect bites, bee stings, sinus, pink eye, earaches, and sore throats. When illness strikes, see the Prairie Express Clinic at 112 Helen Street in Sauk City. Prairie Express is a walk-in clinic providing the best possible care for patients ages 12 months and up. Prairie Express Clinic offers convenient hours of 9 to 7 Mondays, 1 to 7 Tuesday through Thursday, and Fridays 9 to 4. Prairie Express Clinic, dedicated to caring for the community the past 60 years.
The almost unearthly luster of pearls has always been prized and well-loved as a gift. Sophie's Fine Jewelry in Baraboo has shimmering pearls and earrings, pearls in pins, pearls in necklaces and pendants, pearls with price tags as varied as the selection. Pearls with their mysterious glow add a translucent beauty to the woman who wears them. When you give a gift of pearls, she'll love them as much as she'll love you. Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gifts, Highway 12 in the Baraboo Mini Mall.
Well, we're back here at Mornings at McFarland, so thanks for staying with us through those commercial breaks, which were great as usual. We're so thankful to have sponsors that get behind Mornings at McFarland's and believe in us and want to support this show, because it's been a lot of fun. We've been on the air for over a year now. Can you believe it?
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's just been so nice to get to talk to people like you. My guest this morning, Jeff Wright, is our assistant superintendent of schools here in Sauk Prairie. But Jeff, you are working on a project. I need to just shut up and let people hear about the project you've got going on around. What is this?
Well, I'm just part of a huge team of people that have been working on this project, as you said, for decades, trying to bring this world-class bike trail and pedestrian trail to Sauk Prairie. And we're excited that over the last few weeks, the rails and ties have come up through. And so people can see that the trail is under construction and that the Great Sauk State Trail, the dream is to make it, this is a trail that will connect to the trails near Middleton and Mazamani,
mm-hmm.
and then up through Devil's Lake State Park. And that in the long term, this trail will then head west toward the 400 Trail, which will connect to Elway Sparta Trail and be able to bring bikers all the way from the Mississippi River to the state capitol. But we're that missing link, that one piece of that trail network that hasn't yet been finished.
Okay.
And so we have several phases of trails that we're working as the Friends of the Great Sauk State Trail to build. What's happening this summer is phase one. That phase one will go from the old railroad bridge near McFarland's here in
okay.
Sauk City.
Okay.
And we'll go to the fence line of the former Badger ammunition plant.
Okay.
And so that first about 6 miles should be finished by the end of October.
Okay.
We need to raise a little bit of money to finish that first phase.
Okay.
But what's really exciting is the potential in the second phase. And the second phase will take the trail through the new Sauk Prairie Recreation Area, made out of that old Badger ammunition land or part of it.
Okay.
And bring the trail all the way to the south end of Devil's Lake State Park. And as we've said, a trail in the villages is a nice trail, but it will truly be a great Sauk State Trail when
right.
it reaches Devil's Lake State Park.
Right.
And that as the state's most visited state park, to have even a fraction of those tourists and visitors come down and shop in our businesses
sure.
and visit our community, but also provide us the opportunity as people who live in this area to be able to bike straight up to Devil's Lake State Park from right here in the community. What a treasure that's going to be for our community as we bring people down past the river here in our own community and then all the way up to that state park.
Well, and a legacy for years and years and years and years to come.
Yes.
I mean, they're talking of, I mean, the quality of the trail itself, the construction quality of it is really meant to be something that will be able to be here for 100 years, if not more.
That is the plan. And the DNR estimates that it will be the most traveled state trail in the state, this section, because of the connection to Devil's Lake State Park. And so we are making sure to build it. It will be an asphalt trail.
Okay.
I think we live out, as I said before, on a farm outside of Plain, and I'm sure that the gravel has been moved off my driveway this morning with the amount of rain we've had again today.
Yeah.
That we
yeah.
needed to make sure that we have a trail that is going to last, that is going to be safe, that isn't going to have ruts in it near the river as we watch rain like this come through,
yeah.
and so that we can comfortably welcome people from all over the world to come and bike on this trail that someday will go from the Madison area up to Devil's Lake State.